This is Daisy Osborne, and today I'm speaking on a very important subject, winning. I'm addressing myself to women in particular, women becoming winners. Did you know that every woman can be a winner? You were destined to win. You're not a loser. You're a chooser. You can actually choose to win. Do you realize that you're a unique individual? And that there's not another person in the whole world like you? God made you special, just the way He wants you. That's because He has an individual purpose for your life. Realize that, and you're on your way to becoming a winner. You were born with an abundance of ability. You must surely be aware that God's plan for your life requires talent, it requires capabilities, it requires skill. And I can tell you now that those gifts are already in you. Furthermore, you're already bestowed with all the talents you'll ever need in your whole life. When you discover your inner response to your God-given abilities, you will be a winner. As long as you look for an excuse to fail and whine instead of a reason to scale and climb, you're forfeiting a life of fulfillment, of happiness, and of success. Excuses can be turned into uses. That's the way of a winner. When you've even a little self-love and self-worth because of your awareness of God in you, you'll start developing Christ-motivated habits that will make you a winner for sure. There are only two categories of people, the losers and the choosers, the whiners and the shiners, those who reject ability and those who respond to ability, the don't-doers and the do-doers, the unbelievers and the believers. This fact is vividly portrayed in the preview God has given us of the day when each of us shall stand before the King to give an account of what we did or didn't do for Him during our life. You can read it in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with the 31st verse. You can read it all later, but I'm going to share certain portions of it with you right now. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, before Him shall be gathered all nations, none will be left out, and He shall separate them one from another. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me." And the King will say, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto Me." There was one division. The men were not divided from the women, or vice versa. The only division was the don't-doers were separated from the do-doers. Race is not a factor, neither is the color of one's skin, nor their culture, nor their social status, nor their language, nor sex. And the things to be done, as you've heard, are so simple, maybe too simple. Because couldn't just about anyone give bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty, housing to a stranger, and clothe the naked, give a helping hand to sick people, and call on the prisoner? That doesn't require any special ability. It only requires God's ability to love, God's ability to care for people, God's ability to comfort and to share. In other words, an awareness of and an act of meeting a human need. That was all that was expected. Nothing big. Something everyone can do, something you can do, something I can do, but the doing is what counts. Between our evangelistic crusades, my husband encourages me to share as often as possible in women's conferences, conventions, rallies, and so forth. He knows my concern and compassion that women become winners the world over. Recently, at an international conference of Christian women where more than 10,000 attended, I was the principal speaker. Between lectures, I had an interesting and enlightening conversation with an influential Christian lady because she objected strongly to my urging women's literal acceptance of the way Jesus said, "Go ye, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me." My new friend felt that women were excluded from these weighty words, and for that matter, the whole job of soul winning. She said with profound conviction, "Daisy, my going and doing depends entirely upon my husband. If he doesn't direct me to go witness of Christ, I don't. My husband has not told me to, so I have not gone." I'll admit, for an instant, I was speechless, and that's a bit out of character for me, I'm afraid. "But wait, my dear sister," I replied. "Will your husband answer to the king for you and give your account for what you've done during your life? Will we as women be exempted from standing before God? Will our husbands take our place on that day?" She said, "I don't know what you're talking about, Mrs. Osborne." I went on to relate to her my own personal experience. One day recently, while reading the Living Bible in the book of Romans, these scriptures stood out forcibly to me. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 in the Living Bible says, "Remember, each of us will stand personally." Do you hear that? Each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. Yes, each of us will give an account of himself or herself to God. I ran to my husband and said, "Honey, look, I've just discovered two of the most serious declarations in God's word for women." Oh, sure, I'd read these verses many times, but that day I discovered some seeds of truth that would have an eternal effect on my life and ultimately the lives of women around the world. One day, I, Daisy Marie Washburn Osborne, will be one of those gathered before the king. What I do or do not do for my Lord will determine my classification forever. Losers and winners will be separated once and for all. T.L. Osborne, my dedicated soul-winning husband, will not be called to answer for me. I'll stand alone. His deeds will not make points for me. My record will have to stand on its own. I have an individual responsibility. You do too. I accept mine gladly. How about you? You're important to God. Only you can do the things God has equipped you to do. Think about that. With God-given ability comes responsibility. When you realize this, you're on your way to becoming a winner. As you receive this message, which I'm sharing from my heart, you'll come to see yourself created in the image of God, a unique individual, a one of a kind. You'll see yourself in these five ways. First, equipped and commissioned to go. Second, bestowed with intelligence to know. Third, entrusted with talents to grow. Fourth, endowed with abilities to sow. Fifth, a creature of importance to show. Let's discuss these dynamic and positive attitudes that can transform any woman or man into a winner. First, see yourself made in the image of God, equipped and commissioned to go. Look at yourself and say, "I'm a special creation of God. I'm not an accident, but an incident. I'm a happening to celebrate, not scum to incriminate. I've been selected, not rejected. I'm an asset, not a liability. I'm the result of precise, careful, expert planning, and the expert was God. And there's a distinct purpose for my life." Let me ask you a question. Was only the male species of the human race created in the image of God? Of course not. Mankind, male and female, was created in the likeness of God. God said, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness. Male and female, he created them." I heard a lovely story recently of a first grade teacher who asked each of her pupils on the opening day of school to stand up, give their name, and tell something about themselves. One very neat, alert lad stood up with shoulders squared as though ready to march, and he said, "My name is Peter Sanders. God made me just like I am. I'm good, because God can't make anything bad. I'm handsome, because God can't make anything ugly. And I'm going to be a good student, because God don't make no dummies." In a nutshell, that about says it. That's what you call a good self-image. That's the ability to see yourself as a special work of God's hands. Remember that and ignore anyone who contradicts it. You were created in God's very image. You're equipped and ready to go wherever He sends you. Your mission is His commission. You may not be able to go around the world, but you can go to the world around you. Secondly, see yourself bestowed with intelligence to know. There was a time when it was considered an insufferable waste for an able-bodied boy to go off to school. The time he spent with books should rather have been given to physical labor. Earning one's living by the sweat of his brow was the manly approach to life. No work, no eat. And that was still the philosophy when I was a child. We were a family of 11 children, a pretty good workforce in itself. We were so poor that poor folks called us poor. During the Depression, we followed the fruit crops in California to grub out an existence. Book learning certainly wasn't encouraged. Only one of my 7 brothers pursued higher education, and he had to leave home to do so. But when girls took to the Scholars Arcade, a whole new wave of opposition arose in dominant force. In much of the world, this resistance still exists. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Females around the world are waking up. A new day is dawning for women. God is arousing their innate potential. The day of God's woman is here. Women are becoming winners. The male was given eyes, ears, and a mouth. These facilitate learning and communication. Feet and hands assist in going and doing. Every female is also gifted with identical endowments, logically for the same purposes. The male has a brain. The female does too. Their potential is the same. Thinking is a woman's job too. All the faculties imparted to the male are munificently bestowed upon the female, upon all women, upon me, upon you. You have a brain to train. You have intelligence to know. That intelligence is God-given. Share with it, bear with it, and flare with it. Then you will be useful, fruitful, and delightful. You'll be on your way to becoming a winner. And third, see yourself entrusted with talents to grow. There are 2 things you can do with your abilities, with your talents, with your ingenuity. You can leave them dormant, unattended, undiscovered, or you can put them to work for your loved ones, for your neighbors, for your family, for strangers, for others. Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, I can't do anything. I'm not gifted like others." That just is not true. Everyone is gifted, not all in the same way nor to the same extent, but everyone is entrusted with talents, individually, for God's divine purpose. One person's ability complements another's, like a husband or wife complements the other. How do you discover your talents? Whenever you're called on to do something, always say yes. Abilities never grow by refusing, but by using. More than once, I volunteered to do something which I had never done and hadn't the foggiest idea how to go about doing it. But for some reason, I had the good sense to value the opportunity to try. This makes life exciting for you and others, believe me. I've discovered that the more you do with what you have, the more you have to do with. Try it. You'll like it. The achievers are the receivers. Opportunities to do something for someone are what cut the shackles of limitation, break the locks of confinement, and heal the hurt of loneliness. Jesus said, "If you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you." The more you use what you have, the more you have to use. That's the principle of sowing and reaping. That's the way you make your talents grow. So do you want more strength? Give of your strength. Give of yourself. Do you want more ability? Use what you already have. Do you want more knowledge? Share what you already have. In order to have a bigger channel coming to you from the source, which is God, you must have a bigger channel going from you to the needs of others. That's the way to grow. You can grow and become the person you want to be. Hook up to God as your source and let His love flow through you to others. It's just that simple. The giant sequoia tree of California and the tiny bonsai tree of Japan provide us a beautiful illustration. The sequoia was planted in America where its roots were permitted to thrust downward. Never hampered in its growth, it became the world's tallest tree. But in Japan, space was limited, so the moment the tree began to sprout, its roots were trimmed, and the tree was thus dwarfed to become the world's smallest tree. Both trees were the same creation of God. The only difference lay in the fact that one had unlimited access to its source and the other did not. The trees had no choice, but you and I do. We are created to become winners. We are meant to be giants for God. We have an option. Opt for the top. Let your talents grow. The day you accept Jesus into your life, you're hooked up to God as your source. You've got a spiritual taproot. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Let's change this scripture a little bit and let's put she in place of he and see how the scripture reads. We can do this because Jesus was talking to everybody. He was talking to men, he was talking to women, he was talking to children. So listen to it with the she instead of the he. I am the vine, ye are the branches. She that abideth in me and I in her, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, she can do nothing. Don't you like it that way? You may find that to read the scripture and Jesus' teachings, wherever you see he, put she. Wherever it says man, put woman. You might even put your own name in there and make the scriptures really come alive. And fourth, see yourself endowed with abilities to show. No one can use your abilities but you. Think about it. Plant of your strength, of your intelligence, of your understanding and skill in others by doing something to meet a human need. Whatever you sow in others will be returned to you in abundance. Your capacity will continue to increase as you continue to give out to others. To grow, you must sow. Believe in yourself. Recognize your intelligence, then make use of all your God-given abilities. What happens if you do not use your capabilities to the fullest? You're cheating yourself. You're cheating your loved ones, your neighbors, and most importantly, you're cheating God, who planted so much in you. Even what seems to be a handicap may help to discover a beautiful talent. A lady gave birth to a deaf child. She could not communicate with her own daughter, so she purposed to teach the child to read lips and to speak. The child would place her hand on her mother's throat to feel the vibrations. Then she'd watch the lips form the words. There followed months and years of intense, painful, tearful drill. But gradually, the daughter mastered the art of reading lips and of speaking. She heard with her eyes. That wasn't all. What the mother had sown in her daughter began to pay off. Before long, the mother had established a small school for deaf children. She sowed in them. The school grew. Her method of teaching took root and a new world opened for the deaf. That's the result of sowing, even when you think you're out of seed. Don't try to be someone else. You see, God already has one of them. What he wants is you. So be you. God needs you just like you are. The world needs you. The unique, one-of-a-kind individual God created you to be, that's what the world needs. When you're willing to be just you, then you have found the key to fulfillment, happiness, and success. God has a beautiful plan for your life, so don't settle for anything less. You're not destined to fail, but to scale. So climb out on top of mediocrity and become a winner. You are not defeated, you're needed. Look around you. Someone needs you now. When you see a need, go to work to meet that need. In other words, let God meet that need through you. That is sowing your ability in others. And fifth, see yourself with importance to show. You're important to God, to others, to yourself. Let's paraphrase this scripture in the 8th Psalm, beginning with the 4th verse. And we're going to put woman in place of man and see how it reads. What is woman that thou art mindful of her? And the daughter of woman that thou visitest her? For thou hast made her a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned her with glory and honor. Thou madest her to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under her feet. Does that sound like you're important? You thought such verses applied only to men. Not at all. In today's generation, women are heading great companies. They're founding and building large organizations and doing almost anything men have done. Today we have women mayors, governors, and senators. Women are serving as presidents of large companies. They're also serving as finance consultants, and even prime ministers and other heads of state. You thought you were supposed to be a nobody? God doesn't make nobodies. God makes somebodies, and don't you forget it. Understand that the importance I mean is your worth to God. Have you ever looked at someone who's doing something great for the kingdom of God and said, "My, she's important. What would the world do without her?" That's the way God feels about you. You're of importance. Believe that. See yourself as a nobody and you'll act that way. See yourself with the importance and value that God has given you and you'll be a winner all of your life. The way you see yourself determines your destination in life. In determining your destiny, you also determine the destiny of others. See yourself as needed and you'll do something to meet a need. See yourself as loved and you'll love. See yourself as God sees you, not as I see you, not as your husband, friends, or pastor sees you, but as God sees you. How is that? He sees you perfect and complete. He sees you as a marvelous possibility for Him to show Himself through. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. Jesus gave His life for you. You are redeemed, made perfect, and new. That's why you can become a winner. Keep these statements before you. Write them out on cards and stick them up throughout your house or your apartment. Then you'll keep them in mind and they'll be a great help to you in your daily life. Here they are. First, see yourself created in the image of God, a unique individual equipped and commissioned to go. Second, see yourself bestowed with intelligence to know. Third, you are entrusted with talents to grow. Fourth, you have been endowed with abilities to sow. And fifth, you are a creature of importance to show. Become a winner. Where should you start? The first step in becoming a winner is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. He believes in you. Believe on Him. There's no winning while you're still sinning. If you haven't made a total commitment to Christ, do it now. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Right now, you can seal your experience with God forever by confessing your faith in Him and in His Word. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of confession to the Lord right now. I'd like for you to repeat this prayer after me, please. Say, "Dear Lord, I do believe that I'm created in Your image. I believe I am unique. I'm a one-of-a-kind made for Your special purpose. I do here and now believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe that in Your great mercy and love, You died for me. As my substitute, so that I can be forgiven of all my sins. I repent of my sins. I receive You now as my personal Savior. From this moment, my life belongs to You. I know I must personally stand before You at judgment. I will not answer for anyone else, and no one will answer for me. You died for me personally. I, as a woman, will stand before You personally. Your blood was shed for me personally. My life as an individual has been redeemed. And I am saved now because of what You did for me. I shall be counted among the righteous because I accept what You did for me as a woman at the cross. Here and now, I dedicate myself to you. To do your will as long as I live. I accept your commission to go. I thank you for intelligence to know. I thank you for talents to grow. And I'll take my abilities and sow. I accept the fact that I am a creature of importance to show. Today, my life takes on real meaning. From this moment, you take first place in my life. In all I say and do, I know I shall become a winner. Thank you, Lord. Amen.